my power, by my spirit, saith the Lord. Our scriptural affirmation today comes from Colossians, the second chapter, starting at the 16th. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days.
Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ.
Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God.
Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances?
Touch not, taste not, handle not. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body.
Not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh.
Let's pray. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today, knowing that we need you. It is such an honor and privilege to be able to come before you, to seek you. And so we are seeking your face this day. We are seeking that you would move in us and around us and through us. So Lord, we're asking that you would bless this day. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the way that you are moving in, through, and around us. Lord, we bless your holy name. We praise you. And we worship you because you're worthy. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. I mean, we ought to be shook by our relationship with Jesus Christ. Shake. Yeah, I kind of like that. You know, so what are we thinking of here as we begin to consider the Word of God, as we begin to consider what God is doing in our lives? We need to allow that to shake us up. We need to allow that to move in our lives. And we do want to pray for our sister today. She is come today, even though she is a candidate very soon, I think next week, for her knee replacement surgery, because she is bone on bone. So she is in pain, and David understands that pain. See, David and I, we appreciate the fact that we can shake now. We may not be able to shake in time. We may not be able to shake like when we were a kid, but we can shake because we had that surgery. See, that's rattle there. So when we... So we want to pray. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just ask that you would touch our sister in a very real way. We know what it means to go under surgery, to have to deal with that. So many of us here have had to go through so much of that kind of thing. And we're just asking that today you would just touch her body, that even today she would be comforted, that even today, supernaturally, you would allow her to be able to enjoy being here in worship, that the ride back and forth would not be too much, and that doctors will have such skill, and that her recovery time in this process will be short, and one that she'll look back on recognizing that you were in the midst of it all the time. Lord, we come to you because we know that we need you. If we are to worship you now, if we are to do this thing called preaching. Now we need you. We can't do this without you. And we want to focus on you. Please open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, so that we might receive you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Second chapter of Colossians. We have been going through this book, and it's last week we kind of were reminded that we are buried with him. We have died with him. If you have been born again, the first part of the process is that you were buried with him. You died. You gave up your life. You gave up everything. And you were then raised with him. Not only did you die, but you were brought to life. You were resurrected. Your life is in him. The great exchange has been made. And not only were you raised, you were quickened. You were animated. You were made alive. We are alive in Christ. It's in him we live and move and have our very being. And not only do we live, we don't live just any old way. We live forgiven. We live changed. We live having been made different. God is working in us. I am forgiven, and I can celebrate because I'm forgiven. I can thank God. Not only have I been made alive, I've not been made alive to suffer and feel bad all the time and worry. I can get from under that because I have been forgiven. Forgiven for all that I've done. Forgiven, free, forgiven. So we go to verse 16. Since we are raised with him, made alive by him, forgiven in him. Since all that is true of us, we need to let no man therefore judge you. Don't let anybody criticize you for the way that you do you. The way that you live this Christian life. We like to make up rules. We do. It's just a natural thing. If we get together three times in a row, everybody will sit in the same seat. You know, it's amazing. I mean, it might be a place where you really can't see, but that was the first place you sat, so that now is your assigned seat. You know, we have this way of just encasing ourselves, cementing ourselves into stuff that maybe we should think twice about cementing ourselves into. Maybe we should be led by the Spirit of the living God. Maybe we should allow God to move us. But we like law. Maybe not somebody else's law, but we like some kind of law. We like to be tied in, and you've got to be careful about that. Because you can be on both sides of this thing. You can react to everybody else's law, and maybe that doesn't fit you, right? Now don't misunderstand me. We're not talking about morally that you are not in line with what God says. Well, we're not even saying that civilly you shouldn't be in line with laws. We're not going there, but you know, people can make up stuff. Crazy stuff. You know, I don't think your hair should be that long. You would be so attractive if you get a haircut. You know, there was a time when And they'll say it so nicely. There was a time when women didn't wear pants. You know? There was a time when children didn't speak in the presence of adults. There's all kind of stuff that other people will lay on you that you don't have to adopt. If it's not explicitly written in here, you do not have to adopt that. As much as I like order, as much as I like having things decent, there is a reality that there must be freedom in the body of Christ. We must live free. So please, please listen to the scripture. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of Sabbath days. Think about what he's saying there. When this was written, there were no pork sandwiches that were allowed. When this was written, you couldn't have shrimp. And the tendency is even today, you can read some stuff out there online. Oh, you shouldn't be eating that kind of stuff. Today it's even funnier. Vegans won't let you eat chicken. You're not laughing, but you ought to read some of the stuff out there. You can't eat. We used to have a lady here, and I love her dearly to this day. But she says, I don't eat anything with a face. Yeah, well, I said, baby, close your eyes. I won't go there. But anyway, there's just a reality that we can't allow these things to drive us. We can't allow other people's ideas to drive us. We can't allow the Old Testament to drive us. There's a teaching going around now that we ought to obey the Old Testament holy days. We ought to observe them. Now, they'll be very careful and say, you know, it's not that you have to do it. You'll just be better off if you do it. Be careful of what you're listening to. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or of Sabbath days. You know, today is the Sabbath. None of you should be watching football. Forget about the Browns today. Just sit there and open your Bible and, some people are saying, I'm leaving now. I want to see pregame. I don't know about you people. This is serious, folks. It really is serious. People will put you in jail. They will try to run your life in a way that is not consistent with the Word of God. I want you to do right. I want you to live right. But live in line with the Word of God, not somebody's warped idea of it. You see, because those warped ideas, they are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. You see, it's a shadow of things to come. And this shadow, that the specter that people will put over your lives is scary and makes you think that you're less than, because there's no way that you can keep up with what everybody has to say about you. There's no way that you can do it. In the movie The Lord of the Rings, one of the three, I don't remember which one, I think it might have been the third, Samwise is rescuing Frodo, and these orcs have got him in this tower, and so Sam's coming up the back steps, screaming, running after it. And the orcs look down and they see the shadow of this little guy, but it looks like a big shadow. And he's screaming and they're seeing this shadow and they just run away. Sometimes we're like that. We're seeing the shadow, but we're not seeing the real thing. God doesn't want you obeying the shadow. He wants you to know the real thing. He wants you to know what's really happening. Don't let the shadow get to you. But the body that we're a part of, that's of Christ. We're a part of the body of Christ. Let no man beguile you or judge against you. Your reward in a voluntary humility. You're giving up your rights so that you can be humble. You're giving up your rights so that you can be in line with everybody else. Maybe you're a strong, forward person, but you think you have to be docile. You think you should never have anything to say. Don't do it. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Today, so many of my really good friends hear so many words from God, supposedly. And it troubles me a bit. It troubles me a bit, not because they're not good people, but I don't need a mediator. I need to be able to go to Jesus myself. I need to be able to hear from the Spirit of the living God. You need to be able to hear from the Spirit of the living God. And every word that you hear must be in line with the Word of God. And we know that this is the Word of God. And anything that you hear, anything that anybody says, including me, if it is not in line with this Word, it is not the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even the dividing of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. So why is so much of this stuff that we're hearing so weak? So evil, so twisted. So out of line with the rest of the Word. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which ye have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head. We need to realize that we have to be connected to Jesus. Hold fast to Jesus. Hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast to him who has our life. Hold fast to the head. Not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered. We need each other. I would like to be totally independent. When I was a kid, probably about 13 years old, I decided I didn't need any of you. I just decided that I wasn't going to depend on anyone for anything. And I was so very wrong. Because we need each other. If you are the body, if you are born again, you are part of the body. Then part of my nourishment comes from you. And if I refuse to be connected to you, then I am malnourished. We are malnourished when we don't hold fast to each other. We are malnourished when we don't love each other. We are malnourished when we don't reach out for each other. We are malnourished when we don't communicate with each other. We are malnourished if we don't know that we need each other. I need you, and you need me. We are connected. You can be assured that we are meant to be connected. If you are sitting in this room today, you are meant to be connected. Connected. This time for secret agent Christians, Lone Ranger Christians. Just think of the lie about what people say. You're a secret agent. Well, how come you're telling everybody? You're a Lone Ranger. Didn't Lone Ranger have Tonto? Nobody's alone effective. That's not the way we've been taught, though. So not holding a head from which all the body by joints and bands have a nourishment ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. God wants to build us up. It is a continuing challenge. I thought about not even saying this, but it's a continuing challenge that we are not growing more. As a physically wide to me, because that concerns me, because it means that somehow maybe we're not doing what we should be doing. Maybe we're not sharing the truth of the gospel with people. Maybe we're not believing so much that Jesus is Lord and that it's a good thing that it shows up in our lives. Maybe somehow we're missing that. Maybe we're not telling our children. Maybe we're not telling our relatives. Maybe we're not telling our friends. And it makes me wonder where we're supposed to be doing this Great Commission thing, going into all the world and teaching people how to obey everything. But then I'm freed by this. God is sovereign. Do we serve a sovereign God? He knows our hearts. And He is working in us. And He who has begun a good work in you shall complete it. He's working in us, and I trust that. And so I experience the joy of the Lord being with you. And the joy of the Lord is my strength to go on and preach the word of God so that we have the increase that truly is from God and not by our tricks and manipulation. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, from the elements of this world, if you're dead to that, if you are truly freed from that, if you are truly separated from that, why are you living as though you're not? It says, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? We don't have to. We're making up new jail cells. We're making up new prisons for ourselves. Let's be free. I kind of like that song. Let's shake. Shake it off. Shake it off. There's someone who's come to, you've come to know who's, who's come to you and wants to fill you and lead you and guide you and make you into the person that you're supposed to be, so you don't have to be subject to the ordinances of this world. You have to be subject to the Spirit of the living God, allowing Him to live through you, letting your light so shine among men they see your good works and glorify our Father in heaven. You're not hemmed in. You're freed to live for God by the power of God, through the Spirit of God. There's people, don't touch this. Oh, you better not taste that. It might hook you forever. You better not handle that. Don't hold on to that. I want you to live with wisdom. But living with wisdom means living in freedom, not bound, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. This sermon is so much different than I think I imagined it. Verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom. So many of us really try really hard to live like Christians. We get an idea of what living like a Christian is. It's kind of a straight-laced kind of thing, you know? You're always relatively clean. You don't swear where anybody can hear you. You know, you're excused if you hit your thumb. You put up with stuff, and you're constantly outraged that others don't live the way that you do. You're a victim to the outrage machine. That's not Christianity. Christianity is knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He saved you. You have been saved from your sin. You've been saved from the world. You've been saved from all of that. He's Lord. He tells you how to live, and He does it in a way that brings more freedom and more joy. The things that you don't do are not because you can't, but because you won't, because your desire is to love Him. Your desire is to serve Him. Your desire is to enjoy Him. Your desire is to be with Him. You do. This is a positive thing. Maybe somebody will misinterpret the things I've said and live a life of foolishness. If you've heard that, you've heard me wrong. Freedom is not license to do whatever your flesh wants. Freedom is the ability to conquer your flesh and live in the Spirit. Freedom. I'm just not sure I sense that we're living in freedom. I'm not sure I sense that we're enjoying this thing. We're here, but we ought to love it. These things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship. We can grit our teeth and get it done. And humility. We don't really believe we deserve anything. Christ died for you. Christ died for you. Neglecting of the body, punishing the body. But that's not good, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Some people are just enjoying how hard it is, how miserable they are. I'm done with that. I want to enjoy Christ. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Even the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I want to know him and enjoy him. Today, recognize this. We are a part of a body. And this body nourishes each part. Chuck plays guitar and Ralph sings. And Ralph sings, and Cheryl says, what a great voice he has. And that encourages the rallies and makes them want to work harder so that things are right. And that makes Dave say, I could take care of these little behind the scenes things because that builds up the body, and the body having things done decently in order allows the schwads to be comfortable and say, we're not falling apart, we're not falling apart. We feed off of each other. We feed off of each other. We need each other. But we don't need to make up laws and rules for each other. We need to pray for each other and care for each other and build each other up. God has called us together. And that is a tremendous thing. And today, we're going to take what some call communion, what some call the Lord's Supper. We're going to do that being reminded that Jesus allowed himself to be born of a virgin. What a miracle. To live a sinless life as a 100% human and 100% man. What a miracle. To have this tremendous, amazing ministry showing how a man could live if he would give himself completely over to God. What a miracle. He did things like turning water to wine so people could be together in joy. He did things like healing the lame man so that he might be able to participate in community. He did things like healing a man who had withered hands so that he might be able to demonstrate the goodness and grace of God, and that he was Lord over everything. He raised the dead to life again And then after doing all of those things and so much more that even if it were all written, we couldn't read the books, it would be too much. He did all of that, then he died on a cross so that our sin, the sin that we inherited from our forefathers, the sin that is real, the sin that we, it's a part of us, the sin that we were born into and the sin that we have actually committed ourselves, all of that was an offense to Father God, an offense that called for death, and he died. Jesus died for us. He died for us. And after 3 days, he was raised up out of the tomb, demonstrating that he was God himself, showing us that we have an advocate who is constantly saying, that one is mine, that one is mine, that one is mine. They are mine. They are forgiven because their debt has been paid. And now we can live with a joy, a thankfulness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. You've been so good. You've been so good. You've been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. And today, as we take the Lord's Supper together, we're proclaiming that we are thankful, that we are part of the body of Christ, that we believe that he died and rose again for our sin. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. And to let everyone around us know, I'm a part of you. I'm a part of you. You can't get rid of me. I'm tied in by the blood of Christ. So I'm going to hand this out now.